Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Time for Crosstalk with the guys, brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. Fall Thoroughbred Racing is back at Hawthorne Racecourse with a newly remodeled rooftop deck for both sports betting and horse racing. That's amazing. Get in all the action with Hawthorne. Dangerous up there. It is time to Crosstalk with the guys. Carm and Yurka. What's up,
morning,
fellas?
Morning.
A little Louie there. I like that. It was good.
Not Little Louie. It's Louie Armstrong. Not Little Louie. It's a different artist.
Well, like, it was a little Louie Armstrong.
It's a different
it was, yeah.
It's a different song.
Miniature.
Okay, it's a little different. Okay.
Miniature.
What's up, fellas?
That was good. Smaller.
What's going on?
Good. It's
How are you guys doing?
Happy Friday, the Football Friday.
Football
looking forward
Friday.
To well, college, little pros. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All of it. You guys all look excited. Yeah.
Of course. Well, why wouldn't we be?
I'm excited for the weekend. Big college. I watched more college football last Saturday than I did in a long time.
You know why? It's because it's a good scouting eye for the NFL draft. You're watching the games like, that guy can play. That guy can play.
He's a baller.
Yeah.
He's a baller.
Yeah, get your eye ready. That's why that's always good, my friend.
I like to watch the big men play. That's what I like to see.
You got your eye on the line?
The road graders. I like to see the road graders. Even though the action follows the football,
yes,
I try to follow the road graders as much as I can.
You need the all 22 for that.
You do. The all double deuce.
Yeah.
There's going to be an all 22 channel at some point where we can just focus on the line.
I like that.
Yeah. It doesn't matter about the ratings. It's just an alternate channel.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
I like it, Hoodie.
I'd like to start with an inside, you know, the end zone copy.
The end zone feed?
Yeah. The inside and then panning out to the outside once the play starts to develop.
Yeah.
But you never lose sight of what's happening on the offensive and defensive line.
That's right.
I like that. That's a good shot.
Well, they say that's where the game's won and lost.
Quite frankly, football has not been filmed properly for our television viewers for a long time. It has not been filmed properly.
I concur.
The XFL, the first time around, did it the proper way, from different angles. Hey, you forgot your hat, buddy. Don't forget your hat.
Yeah,
he's got a roll.
There you go.
That's a beautiful blue hat.
Yeah. There you go.
I wish you didn't say he was leaving. Our plan was for me to just do Cap impressions the whole time. Like, you guys were going to talk, and I was going to go, wow.
Well,
phenomenal.
That's usually what you get in crosstalk.
Well,
you blew the whole thing, Carl. Yes.
Yes. Sorry, yes. My bad.
That's usually
what
you get.
You should have told me that, Danny. Oh, hold on now.
Oh.
Whoa, wait a second. Okay, we're good now.
I was
going to
randomly
back.
Just retweet. This tweet from someone you've never heard of.
Danny's still busting balls over there.
Yeah, he's the best.
I asked this question from my good friend Gabe Saperstein. Gabe wants to know.
Just a moment.
Gabe Saperstein. Did you see this tweet from Matt Miller?
No,
actually, I didn't.
No.
Guys, I have a tweet here from 3 weeks ago, but I will read it to you as if I just saw it for the first time.
Hey, man, I'm just trying to contribute. I'm not a human to talk to you like man to man. I'm just going to read.
He's not gone for 2 seconds and we're busting his chops.
Well, I do relentlessly. That 7 to 10.
I know, that's true.
That's what keeps me awake.
That's what keeps you.
let's be honest.
Buddy.
I mean, it's to say.
You guys cracked me up this morning when you did the Brian Kelly stuff.
I mean, what the hell, man? Now, there's pockets, as you and I know, of Indiana that it has a southern drawl.
Yeah. Yes,
right.
Most certainly.
Oh,
yes.
Sure.
But Brian never did that at South Bend. What? Why are you pandering?
I don't know.
I'm here with my family.
The last 12 years have been the most incredible 12 years of my life for me and my family. Being here in Notre Dame.
I'm here with my family.
For me and my family.
I mean, what is that?
Pandering.
You know,
Louisiana.
No, you're not from there.
Right.
You're not Ed Orgeron. I mean, like,
it's great
guy.
I mean, you're a Viking fan. There you go. I like it. Nice jacket.
Boy, it takes...
Boy, I'm telling you, it is an absolute freak show down here today.
It's a melting pot of people.
It takes chutzpah to walk down the street in a purple overcoat and a purple hat with a Vikings logo on the back.
Yeah.
Bears playing the Vikings?
You like that?
No, they're not.
You like that?
Does he know the Vikings are in Detroit this weekend? I mean, what, like...
Yes, that's why he wore it. He's confident.
What's he doing?
Confidence is high in that Viking fan.
Oh,
no
some truth to the rumor that was Viking Scott.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Louisiana.
Mike Zimmer doesn't think we're very good.
Right.
Back to Brian Kelly. I don't get it.
In the great state of Louisiana.
Well, great to be in the great state of Louisiana. I'm going to get me some Gator.
And we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana.
Yeah, and I'm going to go get me some shrimp gumbo.
What a fake.
I mean, really.
It's a great night to be a Tiger.
In the world?
I would be offended if I'm in Baton Rouge. Like, wait a minute, that Yankee didn't talk like that. Now, here's the thing, right? Can you do that the entire time at LSU? So your first presser, you going to sound like that?
He's going to have to.
It's going to become more of a southern accent as he goes along because you're down there hanging with them. You're going to pick up the dialect.
I want to start by saying I had me some andouille with my eggs this morning. Yeah. And I had some cheesy grits.
The French knew what they were doing with the andouille.
And no self-respecting southerner would ever use instant grits.
I had some andouille in college.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Thick thighs save lives.
Love it.
Ann Dewey, she was great.
I'm sure. Remember her?
She created the Dewey Decimal System.
Ann Dewey.
You bet. 300 sports. That's where I used to. Biography, 700.
Good Lord.
Ann Dewey.
The Dewey Decimal System. I didn't see that coming.
Ann Dewey.
Come out of
beautiful. Beautiful girl, Ann Dewey.
Sharp. I had a good day on the golf course. Watch the Hawks game last night,
full
too.
Figure. Hey, what happened there?
Smoking cigars. Three-season room. It was very nice. Man, I'm telling you.
Three-season room?
A three-season room. I never had a three-season room.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. I just had a house, you know. I didn't even know you could, like, put an adjunct onto the house.
Oh.
Call it a three-season room. We're smoking cigars. And you're like, gentlemen. And drinking Angel's Envy rye, Carl.
The finished rye, yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
the Caribbean cask one, notch. Or which one was it?
Oh, but dare I ask or look at the bottle and investigate? No, it was given to me. Okay. Try this. You'll really like it. I had it, and it was delicious.
What's the best season for a rye? Would it be fall, winter?
Fall, winter. I mean, listen, I drink whiskey all year because I like it. But, Carmen. Yeah, I mean, bourbon and rye are definitely a little bit better.
Rye's a little spicier. That's always what he tells me. He goes, Yerk, if you're going to have rye, and who doesn't like it?
Oh, I like
rye. It's going to be a little bit spicier.
Definitely.
It tasted great yesterday.
Oh, I like that.
It was
a
fantastic.
Good time of year for a nice little rye, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, bourbon and rye. It's always good.
Some Sazerac?
I love Sazerac.
Sazerac's all right.
Sazerac. Now, where do I find that?
Sazerac you can find anywhere.
Yeah,
there was a while there where it was not on the shelf much, but it is again, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Then they've got the 18-year Sazerac, which you'll never find.
Right.
Never find.
Thanks for bringing it up.
That's part of the Buffalo Trace Antique Collection.
Oh,
release. That's
right. That's not the Thomas Handy.
That's a different one.
Okay.
Yeah.
The William LaRue.
That's also in there.
Huh?
You know them all, Yurko.
Yes. Hey, I've been studying.
Yeah. Very good.
Keep up with this guy when it comes to bourbons and whiskeys.
Yeah.
Well, you got to do some studying on the side.
That's right next to the Rusty LaRue.
Right, exactly. That's right next door. Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. There's William LaRue, and then there's Rusty. Yeah.
Hey, I don't know about you, but this three-man booth's working for me, pal.
I like it.
I just wanted to make fun of Brian Kelly all the time, like you guys did.
Hold on. Maybe Cap will chime in with a random tweet.
I mean, maybe he will. Cap, what do you think? Come on, Cap. Give us a random tweet.
All of a sudden, Danny Zetterman's eating an apple. What's going on?
I didn't know he was Danny. You got to tell me you were going to do that.
Wow.
Thanks, Mark.
Marcus Stroman is going to wear number 0 for the Cubs. Wow.
I'm just telling you.
Take that.
First of all, if we ever, like, what if you left the radio station, you went down to the South, would you come on and start doing a how? Would you start doing a...
What is that?
That's what he's doing.
I mean...
You know, it's like, I'm Brian Kelly. I'm a northerner my whole life, but now I'm coming down here, and let me tell you, my favorite food are collard greens. Like, what? Wait a minute. You phony baloney.
I'm here with my family.
Didn't we know he's awful? I mean, we know he's awful, right?
He's an awful human being.
It just cements it.
There's an awful person. Another word he says during his little thing, and I watched it. I had the pleasure of watching.
Pleasure?
You know, and not only listening, but I watched it also. And there's another word he uses in his little soliloquy that has even got more of a southern twang on it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. What are you going to do, Cap?
But more importantly.
It's a great night here in the South
to be a Tiger.
Yeah. I mean, he's Brian Kelly.
We are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana.
He's Brian Kelly. Then he gets to the basketball floor at LSU. All of a sudden, he turns into Joel Osteen.
Exactly.
Wait, what happened there? He becomes Joel Osteen. I've got a great story for you guys. Just make sure you're in a Bible-based church. Love one another.
Read from Leviticus 4:13.
I thought it was...
Which, of course, says that... I don't know what the hell it says, but...
What in the world?
Guys, I know you're having fun and laughing, but you won't believe what Schefter just tweeted.
Oh.
Lions running back DeAndre Swift officially out for the game against the Vikings.
Wow. I'm just telling you.
Thanks, solid. Thanks, Cap.
I knew you were laughing and having a great time, so I inserted myself.
Because you're making fun of Brian Kelly.
It gets dark quick for between 7 and 10, even though we're the morning show. Gets dark quickly.
It's unbelievable. I can't even.
All right, so a little bull Nick today, or is it a football Friday?
A lot of football, but hey, man, the Bulls again yesterday.
Who doesn't love
watching this team right now?
This team in the past would have blown it and lost it, and then you'd be really disgusted today.
I love it.
But they lost, they lost the lead late, and then they got it back.
It's great. So, we'll try to sneak in a little Bull talk, maybe. They're in Brooklyn. Then the Hawks and the
Cavs yesterday.
The Hawks and the Bulls have invaded the East Coast of New York. The Knicks last night, the
Hawks.
The Hawks are in the Garden to play the Rangers tomorrow night. The Bulls are in Brooklyn. Could have made a whole New York weekend out of it.
Should have done it.
We should have looked at the schedule. I don't know.
How much do you get paid per hour to turn it from ice to the floor or vice versa?
Oh, that's a union job. In New York, it's probably like $57.50.
They do it pretty fast. If you've ever seen them.
An hour?
An hour, yeah.
Wow, that's good. Like, if you've ever seen them.
Good, solid union jobs.
Turn that thing over. They've got it down pat. Like,
that's amazing.
You'd be amazed at how quickly they can do it. Because I've been in there, like, doing Bulls post games when they have to flip it over.
Yeah.
I mean, once they get everybody out of the stadium, I mean, it's like, it's boom. They're going. The boards, they get the boards. Like, I've seen them get the boards up before, like, we're out of there. You blink and they've got the boards up. They're pulling the floor off.
So that's an overnight job, though, right?
I don't even think it takes overnight.
I've stuck around and I've watched it at the United Center.
I think it takes a couple hours.
As it was happening, because we stuck around for an hour. I'd be hot damned if it was. I mean, it was going from ice to basketball.
I'm telling you, dude.
They are unbelievably proficient at what they do. Some of the boards come out around the ends. Those boards come out.
Yes.
And the boards on the side stay.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes, that's correct.
Man.
They're amazing at it, I'm telling you. And it's a big crew of guys, but it's...
So that's enlightening, because it's not an overnight job.
No.
You say like 3-4 hours,
couple
it's
hours.
Done?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And everybody knows what they're doing. Plywood's got to go all over the floor.
Yeah, they wheel it out on these big...
Yeah, and then they're just laying plywood on the ice, before they get to the basketball.
They've got it in pieces. And like it's pretty cool to watch, actually, yeah.
Man, that's good money, by the way.
It's got to be
union good job. Money.
Because in New York, you have to be a union guy. Right. You can't touch anything in New York.
Even here.
Oh, yeah. When the sun used to come up and it would be piercing in here in the morning, we tried to get that screen down, and we were trying to find ways to do it, and they said, So one guy in this building that can do that job right there.
Ooh. He gets $18 an hour to come down and pull the screen down. Well, just for that job. Probably making about $60 an hour.
God bless him, man.
Yeah.
Kick us out, York.
Time to go.
Good luck tomorrow, Hoodie. See you, buddy.
It doesn't
matter. You guys are in anyway. Doesn't matter.
No, it matters. Okay. It matters, because if you does a 2-loss Alabama team get in?
Nope. No chance.
Done.
I see what you're saying.
Careful.
Okay. All right. It is a big game for you tomorrow.
Good luck, Hoodie.
All right.
Carmen and York going next. See you on Monday. So long, everybody.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Happy Friday. The good kid's back after golfing yesterday.
I am, Carmen. Did I have a ball?
Taking advantage of maybe the last 60-degree day until the spring.
It was glorious. And this is for all golfers out there, to let you know. It doesn't matter how you begin. It matters how you end, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you play the front side and it's miserable. Like my front nine was miserable yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Shot a 55, a double nickel, a Doug Buffon. Came back on the backside and shot 43.
Look at you, dude.
Nah, it's 12 strokes better. In the same round.
You warmed up.
From one to the other. Yeah, it was chilly, a little bit chilly. We had plenty of layers on. But then, when the body became a little bit warm, and maybe the flat stick. Boy, as horrendous as I chip, is as good as I putt.
You should just put the wedges away.
Yeah, I wish I could. Yeah. I tried putting through 15 feet of rough yesterday.
You tried putting from the sand trap, I heard.
I tried putting from the sand trap. I did putt from the sand trap.
I love it.
I didn't putt. I didn't try to. I did putt after I left one in there.
Well, welcome back. The Bear Necessities, about an hour from now.
Oh, I can't
How
wait.
How can the Bears beat Kyler, DeAndre Hopkins, Cliff Kingsbury, and the Arizona Cardinals at Soldier Field?
That's right, at Soldier Field. That's what gives them the shot.
Do you know what the Cardinals are on the road this year, Yurko?
6-0.
6-0.
They're 6-0.
How about that? 6-0 straight
up. All victories by double digits.
Wowza.
Did you know that?
I don't think I did know that.
I heard that from Danny Zetterman when he gave out his advice yesterday that he was taking Arizona minus the points.
Big time.
Because all road victories have been double-digit victories. But you know what the Arizona Cardinals have never played on?
The bog that is
the substandard field and turf that is Soldier Field.
And Tracy Butler told us yesterday, you were golfing, she told Meller and me, it is going to be raining, it looks like, on Sunday. Not cold, but raining.
Guess who that helps?
The Bears?
The team that's not as good as the other one. It always helps the worst team.
Does it help, though, when Khalil Mack is out for the year, Akeem Hicks still isn't practicing, Roquan Smith in all likelihood is not going to play? Does that... can anything help them against an offense that can be as dangerous and explosive as Arizona's?
In the immortal words of Coach Bob Spoo,
your old coach,
when I was down on the field with my knee torn to shreds, the immortal words of Bob Spoo, move the drill.
Oh, boy.
Okay? That's what you do.
Poor Yurko.
They left the Croatian sensation in a heap on about the 30-yard line, and they moved the drill over to the 50.
Jeez.
And guess what? They left me with the medical professionals, and what did they do? Move the drill.
They had to play the next snap.
They went about the business of playing college football, and that's the way it is. That's the cold, cruel, hard business of college football and professional football. Move the drill. It means whoever backs up Akeem Hicks now has an opportunity to shine. Whoever backs up our guy Roquan has got an opportunity to shine. Whoever backs up Khalil Mack has an opportunity to establish himself in this league and make himself some real coin. That's all that proves. 9-2 Arizona's ripe for the picking, kid.
Really? Off of a bye?
Yes.
Is a 9-2 team ever ripe for the picking off of a bye?
Kingsbury doesn't have a track record that we can really know what he's like after a bye.
True.
2 years.
It's only a couple years.
Is not a track record, right? You've got to see something over 10 years to have a track record.
They're in a dogfight with the Packers for the number one seed, though. And the number one seed is more important, maybe, because it's the only bye you get now in the playoffs. So it used to be the top two seeds, but when they added the seventh team, it is only the top seed. They lost the head-to-head matchup with the Packers. Remember that. Now, they have one fewer loss as we sit here today. The Packers are on bye this week. The Packers have played one extra game.
Same amount of victories.
They do. They have the same amount of victories.
Checking out that loss, Kyle.
So Arizona is one because they have one fewer loss right now. But if they end up with the same record, guess who's the one seed? Green Bay owns the tiebreaker.
That's
Isn't
right.
that right, guys? Don't they go head-to-head for first tiebreaker?
Yes,
you're correct. So they won in Arizona this year, the Packers. And that's why all of these are big, especially when they play inferior opponents. So I don't know that they're ripe for the picking.
I think they're ripe for the picking because you're not getting up for Chicago the way you get up for the Rams or, you know, for somebody else within their division. San Francisco. Do you know what I'm saying? To me, this is a game they could. If they're going to fall asleep, this is a game they fall asleep on. You take things for granted. Hey, Chicago's not good. They're injured, blah, 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 blah. All of a sudden you wake up and your biorhythmic presence is off because the skies are gray, right? You got to play in the rain. Some guys melt in the rain. That's the way it works. I'm telling you, the Bears got a chance in this one.
They do have a division game next week on Monday night at home against the Rams.
Thank you.
That's a salient point.
That's a very salient point. So this is the natural lull that sometimes you call for when you have a big game, then you got one in between, and you got another big game the next week. You have a tendency to take things for granted. Now, in conversations yesterday with fellow club members over at Lincolnshire Country Club, three guys ended up telling me, they go, "Yerk, there's no way in hell the Bears can hang on with Arizona." He goes, "They're going to lose by 30 points.
Wow, they're not going to lose by 30.
And then I tried to create an argument, you know, or try to, you know, at least make a case for the Bears. Like I'm making a case now for the Bears, but it takes and it works off the assumption that Arizona's not 100% sharp for this one. That's what it is. And the rain and the gloom is going to have them down a little bit, and one way or another, the Bears muster up the effort to get things done.
It operates under the assumption that Matt Nagy and everybody else in that building know what they're doing, too. If there's one area where you can maybe take advantage of the Arizona defense, it's on the ground. So maybe it's a Khalil Herbert slash David Montgomery game. We'll see. Yurko's going to give you the whole rundown of the bare necessities a little bit later on. We'll talk to Todd Furman at 11:33. Yeah, Furman was hot last week. North hit another bonus play last week. He'll give us, he had LSU, I think, yeah, he had LSU for the bonus play last week. They beat A&M. They upset A&M. So that was a straight-up winner. Outright
straight-up money line winner.
Mike will have another bonus play for us coming up at 11:45. So a lot of the usual Friday fun. Bulls and Hawks both played and won last night. The Blackhawks had a lead, lost it, had to rally in the third, and then won in the shootout against a pretty good Washington team. So good for the Hawks. And the Bulls won what I thought was a thrilling game. The second half was fantastic. I mean, the Knicks getting back into that game and the Bulls having to come back and then win it late, I thought was terrific. Absolutely terrific. The Bulls, I've said it before, I will say it again, we're all saying it, this is so much more enjoyable. I mean, finally. Like a team you can get excited about, yeah. A team that has... You know,
some stars.
Yeah, some star, like some
stars.
Some borderline star, like some star power. Yes, you're right. They do. And an offense that can score and be more efficient. Like, oh, my God. And Alex Caruso. My God, he's like a Kirk Heinrich on steroids defensively.
When the Bulls announced they signed him, I had to look him up. Who the hell is that?
Oh, he's so good defensively.
And then you see his highlights. And he's got highlights, believe it or not. He did have highlights. And the headband.
Love that.
So you saw the headband. So you're like, okay, yeah, I've seen the Lakers play, but he's like the number 12 guy on the Lakers or the eighth guy on the Lakers, you know? But it's all the injuries they had. He played probably a little bit more than he should have with them. But you get him, and you're like, who the hell is this guy? But he is as advertised.
He is totally as advertised.
He's got some tenacity.
He is as disruptive as any perimeter defender in the NBA.
Yes.
I'm telling you. Like, he is just a menace to other teams.
You know where the Bulls are?
It's so great that he's on the team we cheer for.
Do you know where the Bulls are right now?
The Bulls are...
What position there?
Third?
Second.
Second?
They're a half game in front of the Wiz.
Are they 15-9?
They're 15-8, Carmen.
15-8, I'm sorry.
15-8. 8-4 on the road, 7-4 at home. How about them apples?
Yeah, they're just very consistent.
Man, I am telling you. You know, what's their differential, Carm? Quick.
Plus 7.5.
Plus 4.4.
Oh, I was way off.
Yeah, and it's the best in the East.
I guess 7.4 would be.
Best in the East.
That's the best in the East, huh?
In the East, it is the best, Carm.
What's the Warriors' differential?
Shooting at the holes, a heartache, bang, bang. I am a warrior. They are plus 12.6.
Get out of town.
I had to get my song in before I told you.
Plus 12.6.
Then the Jazz are plus 9.7, and the Suns are plus 7.8.
How about the Suns have won 18 in a row?
Is it 18 or 19?
It's 18 in a row.
They've won. Last night was their 18th consecutive victory.
Carmen, if they're 18 in a row, what would that make them in their last 10?
Make them 10-0 in the last
time. Yeah, what?
I thought if that was a trick question.
It's not a trick question.
We got to continue to have fun with Brian Kelly and at his expense. Well,
we pulled some sound.
Yes.
We had, fortunately for us in this day and age, we were able to hire somebody who spent time with the Kelly family when they were getting adjusted down there and you know, looking for homes, you will.
We had leaked sound of what really went on, the conversations.
Yes, the real conversations.
Did you hear that yesterday?
Yeah.
What Brian Kelly really said to his team, like, greed is good, greed is right, greed works. And now we've got more secret recordings for everybody.
More secret recordings.
Coming up next.
I'm here with my family.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
I know college recruiting and college coaches, they're full of a lot of BS, but... The stunt Brian Kelly's pulling. I mean, all of a sudden he's...
Oh. It's great to be down here in the state of Louisiana.
Oh.
And then Baton Rouge.
And we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana.
Yeehaw!
I'm here with my family.
My family.
It's a great night.
Yeah, great day.
To be a Tiger.
Great day to be a Tiger.
Tiger.
I'm so excited. What the hell?
I'm surprised he's not trying to do an Ed Orgeron down there.
My family.
I'm here with my family.
I mean, that would have at least been funny if he got up there.
I'm going to buy you another bayou.
At Notre Dame, family is said one way, and then he goes to Louisiana. All of a sudden, it's a different way.
What?
I'm here with my family.
Me and my family.
Here's his introductory speech at LSU halftime.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, this is a great way to get started.
Yeah,
and I haven't even won all my games yet.
Great way to get started. Yeah. Boy. Yeah.
It's a great night.
Great day.
To be a Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here with my family.
I am.
And we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
Yeah.
But most importantly, where can I get the best shrimp and grits in town? Huh?
So apparently now, don't ask us how we get these things.
That's right.
Because you know, listen, I got to be honest.
A lot of people volunteer sound too for us, so we appreciate that.
Sometimes we break and bend the rules a little, kind of like Chris Cuomo, maybe.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
You might,
do you think? You
know, sometimes we bend the rules a little as journalists, but we have some secret sound from the Kelly family.
Yeah.
Now, the family, they knew all this was coming over the weekend. The family went down ahead to Louisiana.
Yeah.
They're down in great state of Louisiana.
To avoid the firestorm in South Bend.
So the family, Brian Kelly's family went down.
I'm here with my family.
Right. That family went down over the weekend. And we won't tell you how, but we were able to get some secret recordings of the family anxiously awaiting Brian's arrival after he was going to talk to his Notre Dame team on Tuesday.
When's he going to get here, Mama?
Yes, Mama.
Anytime now, child. Be patient.
Why,
that must be the Colonel.
Oh, yeah.
Colonel Angus. Could it really be, Mama? Could it really be Colonel Angus? I don't know. We haven't seen Colonel Angus around these parts for years.
Are you ladies out here talking about Colonel Angus?
Yes, Daddy. I can't wait to meet him.
Oh, watch out, Melinda. Once a woman is introduced to Colonel Angus, she'll settle for nothing less.
Daddy, they say all the women folk love Colonel Angus.
I don't know why people make such a big fuss over Colonel Angus.
I myself never much cared for Colonel Angus. He rubs me the wrong way. Not sure why. Can't put my finger on it.
Colonel Angus isn't a quiet taste.
Now, you might be wondering, in the Kelly family, they call Brian Kelly Colonel Angus.
The Colonel.
So these are
filled in the blanks. Well,
these are real family recordings. And again, we can't divulge how we got these, but the Colonel then arrived. He did.
As I live and breathe, Colonel Angus.
Oh, Colonel Angus, you old carpetbagger.
Annabelle. I fear my visit is an inconvenience.
Nonsense, Colonel Angus. We're always happy to see your shining face.
Colonel Angus, what brings you to these parts? I'm headed down south. Of course.
How far south are you headed, Colonel Angus?
Ain't really sure. I prefer the deep south. I like the heat, the humidity.
Oh, sir, I do not.
So apparently that is the way Brian Kelly and his family talk. Who knew?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
So excited.
So excited.
To be in the great state of Louisiana. I'm here with my family.
Yes. Me and my family.
Well, it just happens, Carm.
It just happens.
I spent like 4 days at Sugar Bowl, and I think I picked up a little twang.
No, I don't think you did
at all. Yeah, it was when Notre Dame played Florida.
Brian Kelly was born in Everett, Massachusetts, and raised in a Catholic Irish-American family in Chelsea. He attended St. John's Preparatory School in Danvers, Mass. His father was a Boston politician. He was a four-year club football player at Assumption College as a linebacker. After graduation, then he went and coached Grand Valley State, Central Michigan, Cincinnati, Notre Dame. I don't know where the, you know.
It's not natural?
I don't know. All of a sudden.
It's not natural that you just pick that up.
I'm never going to get over it. It's too funny. It's the best. It's the best thing of the day. I mean, it just is. That's it.
I used to work at, when I worked at 101 Sports, I worked with another producer, a guest booking producer, and every time he called an SEC school, he talked
he
just
put
like,
on airs.
He would be like, yeah. "Hey, it's and he it almost like his name changed from Dan to Ian. He'd be like, hey, Dan calling from Dan. He is from 101 Sports. Is Coach Fulmer available this week for us?
Now that's smart.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Uh huh.
We'd like to talk to Coach Fulmer this weekend. Where are you from, boy?
New York.
Well, I'm from down south there in Big Sandy, Texas.
Kannapolis.
I'm a southern boy.
Kannapolis. You won't go wrong with Kannapolis, North Carolina.
I'm
right in the heart of NASCAR.
I'm from Mobile, Alabama. If you must know, I wandered up here to the north. Don't ask me why, but I'm from
Montgomery.
Vicksburg, Mississippi.
I'm from Montgomery, the heart of Dixie.
The heart of Dixie. And down in Vicksburg, I mean, what?
We're having too much fun with this.
Oh, you can't have enough. It's phenomenal.
It's just phenomenal.
Well, Yurko, it does remind me of the famous story of the drive back from Canton, Ohio, and Brian Urlacher's induction into the Pro Football
Hall. I did the Colonel for 2 hours.
Yeah, Yurko said
it was not 2 hours.
I was going to say it was about five.
It was, I think it was four full hours. And
four of the six-hour drive home.
Adam Archuleta.
The first 15 were phenomenal. The first 15 minutes were awesome.
But after that?
Next 15 were pretty solid. The next 220 minutes, though.
We're not kidding.
Can I tell you, though?
I mean, Yurko did it for 5 hours.
You guys needed to know that I was committed to the bit.
I was
committed to the bit.
I will never question Yurko's commitment to anything ever again.
I looked at you guys, and I was waiting for one of you to crack.
When Yurko commits, he does commit.
That's right.
At a gas station, he's ordering coffee in the Colonel Angus voice.
Yeah. I'm going to have it with cream and sugar.
We were on the country roads.
Yeah. How did you guys deal with that for so long?
You have to deal with it. And Meller famously said when we dropped Yurko off, something to the effect of, I can't believe he never shuts the bleep up. And poor Meller was sick. Like, he was fighting a sinus infection.
The drive there was fine. The drive home, though, I was like, I just need to get home.
He wasn't feeling well. He was sitting in the back. Yeah, like, he didn't feel well. You know, I think he had a sinus infection, didn't you, Jeff? Yeah, it was, you know, so his head's killing him, and you're going to Colonel Angus for 5 hours.
I think he did tell me to shut the blank up one time. And then, of course, I just recommitted.
Then you doubled down. I doubled down. The Colonel.
Hey, I want to spend a little time on baseball, too. I know they've hit the lockout, but, you know, there's more Cubs buzz about a potential huge signing.
What do we have?
The problem is, it can't happen for God only knows
right.
how
but
long.
They can agree in principle. And then sign on the dotted line whenever it is.
They can't talk yet. Well, I don't think they can they?
You know what, though? And I know the rumor you're talking about. And that was, I think, called into question and debunked on Waddle and Sylvie yesterday.
Oh, it was? I didn't know that.
I've got audio that you can hear from that.
Is this like real audio?
No.
Is this from
our intrepid baseball reporter, Jesse Rogers?
Yeah, these secret tapes again. Because the whole thing, I'll tell you about it when we go. I don't know if it's going to remind Mel. I'm sure it reminds Meller. It reminds me of something from a couple years ago with the White Sox that was happening. And in the last, 24 hours, I didn't realize it got the debunked. And I heard Jesse yesterday. I must have missed. How did I miss that?
When did you listen to Jesse? He came out at 5:15 yesterday.
Maybe I missed the very end of Jesse.
You
I might
did
have gotten
then.
Out of the car.
Yeah, it was like
okay,
probably
so
the last
I didn't know
question or two.
That it got debunked by Jesse Rogers. So I do want to talk about the story and then play Jesse with Waddle and Sylvie debunking it yesterday. We'll do that when we come back next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
When the White Sox were in, I'll call it warm pursuit of Manny Machado a couple of years ago. You remember a couple off seasons ago? And okay, if you're cooking, you can have it on high.
Yeah.
You can have it on medium, but there's also something called medium high. A lot of times, you know, you want to sear on medium high, okay? So the White Sox were like in maybe medium high pursuit, but the Padres were in high pursuit.
Right, right.
Like they were going rolling boil.
Yes.
You know, like they had the power burner going all the way up and like, we got to cook pasta fast. Let's get the rolling boil going, you know? Like that was in the Padres one.
Then you drop the pasta in and get it el dente.
Right. But when
when the White Sox were in pursuit, there was a reporter named Hector Gomez, who, where Hector covered baseball for which, I'm trying to remember, which publication or outlet.
Well, he's down in the Dominican,
he's in the Dominican, yeah.
And
yeah,
he's been right on a lot of White Sox, like, team-friendly contracts. I'm pretty sure he broke the Aloy contract from the White Sox. Yeah. I think he might have even had the Luis Robert. A lot of Dominican players, when they have news, Hector Gomez is one of the first people who has that.
They go to Hector. So, you know, he kept reporting that the White Sox were going to sign Manny Machado. I mean, he was basically,
he was,
you know,
the guy saying
and we were.
He was right about the fact that they signed his cousin Yonder Alonso.
Yeah, that's true.
He had that.
Yeah, that he did. I think have that, didn't he?
Yeah.
There, so he, you know, he was hot on that, and like Sox fan, we were all getting ourselves excited. Like, hey, this guy knows. He's broken some news. He's got connections in the Dominican. He's down there. He hears things from these guys and their people, you know, their family members, their friends. And it turned out to be
bupkis.
Yeah. Now, maybe
so what's
the
Cubs thing? Though?
Maybe at the last minute, the Padres just said, well, we'll give you $50 million more. And he was like, hey, okay, done.
So what's the Cubs thing? So
non-deferred.
Right, yeah. So the Cubs had like a similar thing going on for a little bit. I think it's Mike Rodriguez, who covers baseball and works for Univision, who has been tweeting that like Carlos Correa is down to two choices, the Yankees or the Cubs, right? Did I think that's what I read.
Right.
That Correa is choosing between the Yankees and the Cubs. And it was like, whoa, wait, what? And he had that Correa had called Baez, their countrymen, the two.
Right.
You know, from Puerto Rico together.
And Altuve also.
Yeah, is Altuve DR or Puerto Rico?
They're all teammates on the same World Baseball League.
Yeah, that's Puerto Rico. And so, like, he called Baez, and he was talking to Javi about his experience with the Cubs, and it was like, whoa, wow, like, really? The Cubs are going to go in on Correa now? But this is Jesse Rogers yesterday with Waddle and Sylvie debunking some of these rumors.
Okay, let's start with this rumor out there that Correa called Javi Baez for info on the Cubs. I'm told, very good source, that never happened. Now, I didn't hear it from Javi, but I heard it from people very close to Javi. Said it didn't happen.
Matt Nagy told you, right?
Exactly. So take it for what it's worth. You know, something like that is a weird tweet saying it's down to the Cubs and Yankees. That's just weird timing for it, whatever. What I will say about Correa is, first of all, he wants the big deal. I think he turned down 270 from Detroit. He wants the big deal. Now, it may not materialize, and that's where the Cubs can swoop in under their plan here. I don't think they're signing him for 8 to 10 years, unless over the next 2 months, Jed goes down to Tom's office every day and says, I need this. I don't think that's the plan. What could possibly maybe happen is some shorter-term deal, like 5 years and with two opt-outs. Like, you got it. Correa doesn't want some short-term deal. He wants that life-changing one place kind of, but if he has to settle for something, at least you got to give him a shot to get out of it, and that keeps the Cubs flexible. Like, the Cubs might like him to opt out after a couple years if things don't work out. I'll be shocked if it's the big deal for Carlos Correa. I guess it's possible that shorter term with some opt outs, but we always say, oh, the market's not developing for guys, and then all of a sudden it does. The Yankees come in and swoop him, and maybe he doesn't get $300 million. But he gets 250 or 270. He goes back and says yes to that number. So that's what I know about Carlos Correa. I'd be really surprised if they do the big deal for him.
So Jesse kind of debunking it. He says he'd be surprised if the Cubs do the big deal for it, that there's a possibility if the market doesn't materialize the way he had hoped or anticipated that the Cubs can get on a lesser deal. I'm with Jesse there at what he said at the end. I mean, somebody's going to come in a big market that's got – that doesn't care, that wants to win, like the Yankees or somebody. Maybe even Detroit will go up from the $27 million a year.
Somebody's going to get. Detroit's got Javi now in the fold.
I know, but Javi could play.
He could.
They might not want to pay that kind of money. I see what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, Javi could certainly play second base.
But they've got Spencer Torkelson at third. Yeah. So, you know, you don't want to log jam with too many long-term deals.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you find yourself in a situation where you're, you know, immediately within a year or two regretting all this money you've got.
Isn't Carlos Correa going to get paid? Carlos Correa's 27, guys.
So, I mean, but when you start to, he should, right?
He's 27 years old.
But the way this played out, like, I could see where, like, the Rangers, you know, like, the problem is Seager's contract at 10 for 325. Like, I could easily have seen a scenario where the Rangers were looking at both Seager and Correa and were like, listen, we're interested in both guys. This is
whoever
the offer.
Signs,
whoever
like,
wants to take it.
And so now that has set the market, and Correa's like, wait, I got to get that. I mean, Correa's.
We may want that number,
yeah.
And I think he probably deserves it. but you need a party that's willing to pay you. Right. And if the Yankees aren't in the $300 million plus market these days.
And there's eight teams probably that would be in that market.
I don't even know if there's eight.
Well, I'm being complimentary.
Yeah.
Eight teams in that area.
The Mets sort of spent. I don't, you know, that takes the Mets out.
Exactly. That's
the Red Sox don't seem to want to spend anymore, which is crazy.
Well, the long-term deals, like, you know, you could see why teams are, like, turned off by him because they don't generally work out great. I mean,
But he's not Albert. He's not 30. He's 27.
I know. I understand what you're saying.
How's the Bryce Harper? Now, they can't make the friggin' playoffs, but he's still the MVP of the league.
But Bryce Harper is, how old is Bryce Harper right now?
30?
Let's reconvene in 5 years. I wasn't opposed to it.
Is that year eight then of that deal?
I think so.
Something like that.
They all look good in the first couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, but 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
I'm so surprised that Seager got that deal.
I was stunned by that number for him.
Maybe that's what I'm going off of right now. Like, well, wait a minute. Somebody just paid Corey Seager that. And, like,
you Correa's need to find the match. I'm with you, but you need to find the match. Hey,
interesting.
I'd love to see the White Sox pony up. I don't think that's going to happen.
Jeff and I talked about this earlier in the week. There's no doubt that they should have, at the very least, had some casual conversations. Talk to TA, talk about the big picture. They've got flexibility in their payroll. What if we went and offered a boatload of money? What if we offered 20, 80 year, 30 year for 8 years to Correa and he would take it? Like, I don't know why they wouldn't. Yeah. You can think big. You can.
Why wouldn't you think big?
What did Daniel Burnham say? Make no simple plans, right? Think big, man.
And for the audience out there, Daniel Burnham is
famous architect
here in the city of Chicago.
City planner.
Protected the lakefront, right?
So, city planner, yes.
But real quick, like look at the Dodgers, too. They traded for Trey Turner.
Yeah.
He'll probably slot in and take Seager's spot. Yes. So, like, all the big market teams that you would hope and expect, if you're Carlos Correa, to be in on the bidding, not necessarily as hot for you as they may have been in the
past. Very interesting. You know, Merck, I often thought about becoming an architect, and I thought, why not aim bigger? City planner.
Oh, no. Architect.
Architect. Doesn't get any higher than architect. We're back in 2 minutes.